It's the morning show on the Ideas Network here on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Molly Stentz, in for Kate Archer Kent. What should happen to a loved one suffering a mental health crisis? When someone is potentially dangerous to themselves or others, should they be met by police officers who drive them in a squad car to a hospital hours away from home? That's what's happening across our state. Thousands of people in crisis are sent to the state-run Winnebago Mental Health Institute in Oshkosh each year. And that's something that the Wisconsin Attorney General wants to change. Have you had a friend or family member have to be hospitalized after a breakdown? What helped you the most? How should we be caring for those with debilitating mental illness? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Josh Call is the Attorney General of Wisconsin. He's been in office since January 2019. Attorney General, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks for having me, Molly.
Good morning. Well, you've called for overhauling how the state handles mental health crises. Why do we need systemic change?
I think there are a lot of reasons we need to change this system. If we make serious change to this system, we can provide a better system for people who are experiencing a severe mental health crisis. We can also reduce significant strains on the system because of the way the system is currently set up, which means that law enforcement officers can spend more time working in the communities that they serve. And we can make sure that our tax dollars are used in a way that has a more effective impact and makes a bigger positive difference on our communities.
And so you've mentioned that this is a complicated issue in your remarks yesterday. Who has the power to make change?
Because this is such a complex issue, there are several different ways that we can go about making change. Some of the reforms that we have called for require legislation to be passed. One of the things that I would really like to see is a shift from the current model we have where in some cases, officers really have a decision between having no intervention and having this very restrictive intervention of emergency detention. I'd like to see a shift to a continuum of care so that there are more intermediate options like peer support and regional crisis stabilization facilities. I'd also like to see mental health experts or social workers as part of the response to emergency situations. That kind of change needs legislation to fund those types of efforts. But there are also changes that can be made with agreement by those who are part of this process. And so one of the things we recommend is that there be agreement to promote a standardized form for the medical clearance process that happens with these detentions. That would make things go faster and mean that people can get the care that they need sooner.
So there would be a statewide agreement on how long folks could be held for an emergency detention and when they would be safe to return home to their community.
Yeah, the way that medical clearance works is Winnebago Mental Health, which is the statewide provider that is available to anybody. So if there's not an emergency detention inpatient bed in somebody's community or near where they live, Winnebago Mental Health is often where people end up being transported. And that happens from across the state, which means there are hours spent in transport for the law enforcement officers transporting somebody as well as the person who's experiencing a mental health crisis. But before we even get there, what usually happens is that there's a medical clearance process where an emergency room doctor provides an initial review of somebody's health to make sure that there's not some acute health issue that would create a problem if the person goes to Winnebago Mental Health, which only provides mental health services. That process takes a while. It's not standard, and we are encouraging all those involved in the process to use a standard process to try to make that more consistent and more efficient.
Sure. Well, what about Mendota Mental Health here in Madison? Is that an option?
It's not really, and historically, Mendota had provided mental health services for adults, but that changed several years ago, and my understanding from conversations with the Department of Health Services is that because of changes that have been made in staffing and use of that facility, it's no longer an option for this type of process. But what's important also is that we really rethink the way that we're handling cases where somebody's experiencing a severe mental health crisis. This kind of restrictive emergency detention situation, is appropriate in some cases where somebody is an acute danger to others. But in a lot of cases, getting somebody much less restrictive intervention, again, with peer support or with crisis stabilization facilities, can address the acute mental health crisis that somebody is facing and lead to better outcomes in the long run for them, as well as reduced time and cost for those who work as part of this emergency detention process.
So it sounds like you're calling for more proactive measures so that people don't get to the crisis point.
That's a big part of this. There are two things that our coalition is calling for fundamentally. One is to create a continuum of care models so that we can divert more cases away from emergency detention, make sure that more people are getting treatment in or close to their communities and in less restrictive environments. In addition to the kinds of crisis stabilization facilities and peer support we're calling for, also having regional crisis assessment services and having enhanced community-based treatment when people are at risk for suicide, we think can divert more cases. But secondly, we also think we can improve the process when people do go into emergency detention through things like additional crisis intervention, team training, additional mental health bed space closer to communities where people live, expanded use of telemedicine, and potentially streamlining court proceedings. So there are a lot of changes that can be made here that I think can make a real positive impact on this entire emergency detention process.
So you mentioned this could require a change in state law, maybe additional funding. How much are we talking about?
I think funding is the key aspect of this, and that's going to be a question ultimately that the legislature and the governor will weigh in on. The governor announced earlier this week that he is including proposals in his budget that would fund some of these concepts, and so that was very encouraging to see. Now, after the governor formally introduces his budget, it will go to the legislature, and ultimately, it's going to depend on how many regional crisis centers that folks decide would be appropriate, how many peer support programs, and the more of those programs we have, the more that costs in one sense. But on the other hand, the more money that we're going to save by not having, first of all, the kind of healthcare costs that go with the emergency detention environment, but also savings when it comes to transporting people and officer time. So, there's a lot of savings to be had here, too, and how those balance out is a complicated analysis. But this is an investment that I think is critical because this system is in serious need of reform. And also, more broadly, this relates to behavioral health issues, substance use disorder, and people experiencing mental health crises. We're already in need of improvements in those areas, and the pandemic is going to exacerbate this. So this is a really worthwhile investment for the state.
Attorney General Josh Call, we have a call for you. We have Lisa from Madison who has a question for you. Hi, Lisa. Good morning.
Hi. I am wondering, I have a brother who has severe mental illness. We've gone through this for 25 years where he sat in jail for a year in solitary confinement for months due to episodes. And I'm concerned about the public being educated, about this dire need for vulnerable people who cannot help themselves. And people are going, we're going to have tax increases to fund this. I don't understand how any of this can be funded without people being willing to recognize it's going to take all of us as a community to resolve this problem.
Thank you, Lisa. Attorney General.
There are a lot of reasons it's really critical we address this, and I appreciate Lisa's comments. There are family members, friends, neighbors, people in our communities who experience severe mental health crises, and they should have access to the kind of treatment that is most effective for them. Mental health care is health care, and we need to, we wouldn't accept, as somebody pointed out at the press conference we held yesterday, we wouldn't accept somebody having to be transported in the back of a squad car hours to get treatment for most physical health conditions, and we shouldn't accept it when it comes to mental health treatment either. This is also a matter that relates to public safety in our communities, because if somebody is a danger to themselves or others, that can create a public safety risk. So addressing these problems effectively rather than waiting till a crisis has occurred is an investment in our public safety, and it means that our officers can spend more time, again, focusing on the important work that they're doing in our communities rather than transporting people for hours.
We're speaking with Josh Call, Attorney General of Wisconsin. I'm Molly Stenz, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Good morning. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenz. We're talking about mental health and how we should care for our loved ones when they're having an emergency and could harm themselves or others. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has been trying to find a better way since he took office in 2019 and convened a summit of law enforcement, mental health professionals to try to find solutions. How should police respond to mental health crises? What do you think? You can join us. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Now, Attorney General, you mentioned regional crisis centers, so bringing people closer to home to seek treatment at facilities that would be perhaps easier on them, better for them and their families. Do we have enough of these centers?
We don't, and that's one of the things we've called for here is an increase in these types of facilities. DHS describes these as low-cost, short-term, subacute programs for individuals who are in need of support and observation, and that can allow us to avoid the more restrictive environment we're talking about. One of the challenges, as I mentioned before, is that we have one statewide facility at Winnebago Mental Health, and if you're in northwestern Wisconsin or southwestern Wisconsin or just southern Wisconsin generally, officers may be traveling hours to transport somebody to Winnebago Mental Health in some of these cases. By having regional crisis stabilization facilities, we would have an alternative that, again, is part of this continuum of care. We could have more of them and have them closer to the communities that people are in when they're experiencing a mental health crisis. And we can afford more of them because they're cheaper than inpatient psychiatric care.
Let's go to the phones. We have John from Burlington joining us this morning with the Wisconsin Attorney General. Good morning, John. What's on your mind?
Good morning. Good morning. I wanted to ask what the Attorney General plans to do about law enforcement approaching mental health crises as law enforcement and criminal issues, and then people who are in mental health crisis being pushed through the criminal prosecution process. I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thank you, John. So should police be the people to respond? You mentioned there could be funding for more crisis intervention teams, so social workers.
Yeah, I think there are a few things that we can be doing on this issue. What usually happens is a call will come into a law enforcement agency about a person experiencing a severe mental health crisis, and law enforcement officers then respond to where that call came from and have to make an assessment about whether the person is a danger to themselves or others. And if they are, there's a process under Wisconsin law that allows a person to be taken into custody for a specific period of time, and then court proceedings may follow from that. One of the things we've talked about here is providing funding for teams that are not just law enforcement response when those kinds of calls come in, but instead are blended teams where there is not only a law enforcement officer, but somebody who is experienced in responding to mental health crises as a based on work in psychiatry or psychology or social work. Models like that, where there's either a non-law enforcement component or even an entirely non-law enforcement response, have been successful in other places, including Eugene, Oregon, and Denver. And so one of the things that we've called for here is additional funding to support those kind of mental health mobile crisis teams. A second thing that we've called for, as you mentioned, is additional funding for crisis intervention team training so that the officers who are responding when they do have training specifically in responding to individuals who are experiencing a severe mental health crisis. And in particular, that training promotes de-escalation techniques. And then more broadly, one of the things that I think we need to do for the system, our criminal justice system, because a lot of people who end up in that system are experiencing mental illness, is increase funding for diversion programs for people who are experiencing mental health issues. If the reason somebody ends up in the criminal process is because of a mental illness, the way to address that is not to incarcerate that person. It's to get them the kind of support and treatment that can help address the mental illness. And diverting those cases ultimately is going to help the people who are suffering from the mental illness and make our communities safer.
So you mentioned the governor has earmarked $25 million in the upcoming state budget. Do you see bipartisan support for your initiatives?
I think there will be bipartisan support. It certainly remains to be seen what happens with the legislature. But in conversations that I've had with legislators about this issue, I know that this is an issue that is important to both Republican and Democratic legislators. There are some Republican legislators like Senator Kathy Bernier and Representative Spiros who've introduced legislation that's designed to address emergency detention and to improve the process. So I'm really hopeful that we'll see bipartisan action on this. This impacts communities across the state of Wisconsin. And one of the things that we did here in this announcement yesterday is brought together an extremely broad coalition of folks who are part of this emergency detention process, from law enforcement groups to NAMI Wisconsin, which advocates for Wisconsinites with mental illnesses, to the County's Association, to hospitals and groups that represent physicians. Our hope is that broad coalition will persuade members of the legislature, both parties, that this is an area where it's critical that an investment be made, and we can make a real positive change on the lives of many Wisconsinites.
I also saw in your departmental budget request to the governor that you'd like to include a new position for support for law enforcement, more training on implicit bias, racial intelligence education. What do you see this position doing?
Yeah, our budget request to the governor's office focused on a couple things. One is strengthening public safety and, in particular, supporting efforts to fight the drug epidemic and with a real focus on the problems that fentanyl is causing, which is a really potent, dangerous drug that's been linked to many overdose deaths. And secondly, to make investments that can help make our system fairer and more equitable. We've requested two training positions. One of them, as you mentioned, would promote racial justice and procedural justice. And I'll tell you, I got a call. I spoke with a sheriff when the protests were happening in the wake of George Floyd's death. And one of the things he said to me was, what kind of training should we be doing? How can we respond to the protests that we're seeing? And it's a good question. And one of the things I think we can do is have somebody who focuses on identifying what are the best trainings, what are the best practices that law enforcement agencies should be following, what things should they be measuring, and who works with agencies around the state to develop those kinds of programs so that we can take steps to make sure that our policing practices are as equitable as they can be. We've also requested a position for training on officer wellness and peer support. Officers face challenging circumstances and sometimes encounter very traumatic circumstances. having those kinds of programs.
Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, I'm afraid we're up against the clock, and that's all the time we have this morning. But thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Molly.
Josh Call is the Attorney General of Wisconsin. We've been talking about his proposals to change how police respond to mental health crises. I'm Molly Stentz, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.